Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends, and we just always going down different lanes here, but this particular show is going to be a really good one because it kind of deals with our hometown territory. In the studio with me is my cohort, Debbie Finsterwald.
Oh my goodness, I'm so happy to be here. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah, this one kind of, you've had this on the back burner for a while, waiting to get this guy corralled over here.
This is one of my hometown heroes that we get to talk to today.
Now, where's home?
Eric,
as if anybody doesn't know.
You know, home of the Bearcats, isn't that right?
Amen, the Bearcats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the studio with Debbie and I today is Mark Durham. And we're going to visit with him a little bit, and got a lot of really good stories he's going to share. We're going to do some music as usual. So.
Yep.
Mark, I appreciate you coming down. I have a feeling this show I could probably just go take a nap in the truck.
Stay in there.
You better stay put.
I'll take a breath every now and then so you can get in there.
But I am going to turn it over to Debbie right now because you guys have a little bit of history, and I think
it'll be interesting to
see where this goes.
We do. We're both from the huge metropolis of Eric, Oklahoma, and Mark's traveled a few more roads than I have, but I've always known about Mark, and he actually graduated with my brother Bob, and so I have followed his music career his entire life and my entire life, and so excited that he's in the studio with us. He now lives in Amarillo, Texas, right, Mark?
Amarillo, Texas. Yeah, I do. I've been there since 2000,
and he is a.
Now that's when the world was supposed to
computers
were going to crash.
He came back closer to home just so he could,
experience it in Texas.
That's right. If your lights are going to go out, you might as well be in Texas, right?
Yeah, it's a good song there.
Yeah, I think you could write that.
Probably so.
No, we are just very, very excited that you're here. And one of the things I love about you, Mark, is that you've had a great career, but even these days in Amarillo, you're a huge, huge advocate for live music and getting people to come out and listen to musicians. And I know that that's been a lifelong passion of yours. And so we want to talk about that too. So,
well, we have such a good wealth of talent up there. I mean, in Amarillo. You know, when I was moving there in 2000, and I had been back in the Christmas 99, and the first thing that made me go, I think I might like it here, is I was riding around. I found 99.7, the KBZD, Home of the Blues.
Yes.
Dalen Martin at that time. And wow. Well, this is not bad. I didn't know what kind of musicians I would find. And geez, within 6 months, I'm just in the thick of it.
Yes. So. And that, you know, that's the thing, is that through your whole career, it's been your passion, and so for you to still be mentoring and being a part of the music scene is awesome. So you want to do a live one for us?
Sure.
That sounds good.
All right.
I
tell us a little bit what you're going to do.
What am I going to do? I'm going to do what I started out in the music business doing. Going to starve to death for you. Roger Miller, thank you. You'll hear a lot of things that I got to have to give him the credit for. But you know, I've lived so much of my life in cities and urban areas, and I miss seeing the stars in Oklahoma and that sky. And
yep.
Man, you can see the whole Milky Way. Yeah, not in L.A. So I wrote this called It's Good to Be Home.
Okay.
Sitting down on the riverbank, skipping stones, I'm gonna go fishing with Uncle Hank. It's so good to be home. I used to come here with all my friends. Years ago, we'd play Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. Feels so good to be home. 'Cause I get so tired of city lights, I need to see the stars at night in the country. And I know it's a place my heart will always be. And whoever said that you can't go home has never gone home with me. Thank you. Sunday dinner at Mama's house. It's all homegrown, straight from the garden right to your mouth. It's so good to be home with the family on the porch as the sun goes down, singing song. Well, it's almost time to head back to town. Man, it was good to be home. 'Cause I get so tired of city life, need to see the stars at night in the country. And I know it's a place my heart will always be. And whoever said that you can't go home has never gone home with me. Whoever said you can't go home has never gone home with me. Yeah, never gone home with me. Down here in Oklahoma, riding in the bricks, turning over rocks, look at the snakes.
Oh man.
Nothing
like it.
Oh, that, I love that. Going in the breaks. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, you know, the last time that when we had the reunion recently, I always, if I have a few minutes, man, I drive down into the breaks.
Yeah.
That's where I spent half of my, as a kid, coming up in the breaks, playing, riding horses.
He described our hometown right there, and right in the breaks. There. That's something that you say in Eric, Oklahoma, down in the breaks.
Down in the breaks.
My sister lives down in the breaks. Leanne, that's where she lives.
Down in the breaks.
Well, let's talk about let's just start from the beginning. And we've been talking about that you and I both grew up in Eric, and our love for the Mother Road, Route 66, it was a big part of our life. And
big part.
You just tell us about, going to high school and how your music career started in Eric, Oklahoma.
All right. Well, as you recall, my dad was an auto mechanic, and he had a shop right on 66. And especially in the summer, you get all these tourists coming through. And if I wasn't working in his shop, I was working next door at Martin 66, pumping gas on the weekends or whatever. And these people would come through, and I'm meeting people from, Philadelphia, New York, and Boston, and Maine, and... But it was always the California people just seemed the coolest.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But so that brought a lot of varied cultures into our town, because people would come and they would get a tank of gas, but they might go downtown and walk around and get a milkshake or go into B&O and
That's
buy
right.
something. You never know. So, growing up in a small town is... there's a lot to be gained from it. I'm glad that I grew up in that time. I'm glad I grew up in the era that I did.
Right.
Honestly, I'm glad I didn't have a cell phone back then.
Oh, me too.
I'm glad that I didn't have access to all the information that the kids have now. So, cell phone, that was the one down at the jail where you call your mom and daddy.
So, our music occupied your time?
Well, I had an uncle. Yeah, I was about 13, 12, I guess, and he put a guitar in my hand and taught me a few chords. That was in Vernon, Texas. I went back home, and I didn't have a guitar, and I was really wanting one, wanting to play. And I'm walking by, and lo and behold, I think Glennis Henchy's dad had that station, and he played.
Yes.
He played guitar.
Yes.
And I heard him playing it one day, and so I offered to pump gas for free if I could play his guitar. So, and Michael Smotherman moved back to Amarillo probably 63 or something, but that's when the Beatles... Mm-hmm. And Elvis Presley. Now, seeing Elvis Presley on TV and watching the girls, well, duh.
You wanted a little bit of that action, didn't you?
Yeah. So you
formed your first band in high school.
We did. We played, our first gig was at the American Legion Hall, and it was Homecoming.
Oh.
64.
Oh, big one.
Big one, Homecoming. And it was really funny. We didn't have any equipment. We had a couple of Philco radios, about 4 feet tall, and they had a little plug-in in them where you could plug in a microphone. So that was one guitar amp, and you know, we hauled Norma's spinet piano down.
Norma Lee Smotherman.
Yeah.
She's a legend in Eric. She's a piano playing unbelievable.
Yeah,
just unbelievable.
She's a queen.
Yep.
So the name of your first band was?
The first band was called The Committee. The Committee.
Okay.
And we went down to the Dixie store.
Oh, the Dixie.
And we ordered these matching seersucker jackets.
For the big event.
Seersucker jackets. I believe we had black shirts and white ties. Yeah.
Wow.
For the big event. And, well, pretty much got me kicked out of church, but that's another story.
So you probably spent more on duds than you made playing the gig.
Yeah. And you know,
typical music.
Okay, so in the first dance, all the girls are on this side of the room. All the boys are on that side of the room. And I don't know if anybody danced all that long. You know,
but you had a good time. Yeah. But you had a good time.
Yes.
So there was the four of you. And then what was the next band you were in?
Well, I went to Southwestern State.
Southwestern Oklahoma State University.
Yes, I went there. And
home of the Bulldogs.
And in 65, I met a guitar player at the pinball machine. And we had the same interest in same songs. And he invited me over to his place, and he picked up his guitar, and he played the solo in Louie Louie, just note for note.
Oh, my.
And I had my jaw dropped, and then he starts playing, you know, You Really Got Me, the Kinks. And so I called some other men. I said, okay, we got us a guitar player now.
Mm-hmm.
And we met a drummer also there at Southwestern State, and we became the In Men and played all through college, played our way through college, and started out and playing, you know, nightclubs in Lawton, Oklahoma, 1966. And nobody wanted to be there, man. That was these guys are being drafted into the Army and
right.
Going to that place. And whew, it was rough. It was a summer of firsts. I saw my first really big fist fight. I saw my first stabbing. I saw a guy get shot, you know. And
that's kind of baptism by fire.
Now, see,
wasn't
I can tell this now because God rest my mom and dad. They've passed on. But if they knew that was going on at the time, we had to get their permission to play there. We were under the age of 21.
Right.
I'm there in law. They think I'm just playing a little club. So but it was it was just part of the
Air Force Base. Yeah,
Fort Sill was there.
Army.
Okay, Army. Yeah, artillery.
So yeah,
and had quite the reputation for being just pretty rowdy. Anyway.
Yeah, we had a the guy we worked for. He was also our manager at one time. That's when we were the In Men, and he made up this poster. I've got one at the house, and it says, "Just In from Out There." The In Men. Just In from out there.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
So but really, your influences early on, it's rock. I mean, it's...
You know, we started out, I say it a lot, you know.
But you had a good foundation of country, too, for sure.
Well, first gigs I ever played were with Norma Lee and, Leland McDaniels.
Leland McDaniels, that's right.
And me and Michael was playing drums.
Yeah.
And... we played Wheeler and, I don't know, some places like this, you know. And it was largely rock and roll. I mean, my career's been a lot of rock and roll, but blues was a big part of it. And when we became the In Men, we were doing a lot of, well, at that time, you know, we're doing the Kinks and Animals and that. But we were also doing a lot of Wilson Pickett and Otis Redding and... that was in the nightclub circuit where we were. That's what people were wanting to hear, and we were happy to oblige.
You bet.
So we got off into that, and I'm a big. I love country music. I love particular love for classic country.
Right.
And of course, there have been hits over the years. I don't think anyone is recording another. He Stopped Loving Her Today.
Right.
These days, I don't think there are any of those kinds of songs that we're going to be hearing. I mean, come on, you think 20 years down the road, people are going to be remembering? She Think My Tractor's Sexy.
or
yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just,
give me a break.
Yeah, it's just a different time, and you know, that's the thing though, that music, you can love all kinds of music, all of it influences you and all of that, but you're always going to gravitate to what you feels right for you.
You know? When I was in Nashville, I think what worked against me is I was from LA. And I had been in the band Blue Steel. We'll talk about right. that. But it was a rock and roll, and we were pretty successful in the rock and roll thing. And so I went to Nashville, and I'm writing some really good country and country rock music, but I'm presenting them as a rock and roller, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but hey, I had a great time in Nashville, and I wrote a couple hundred songs.
But, let's try to get one in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see if I can remember any of them. No. Hey, I have one here. You remember the guy that did it? Hey. Hey, baby.
Yep.
Bruce Chanel.
I want to know if you be my girl.
Well, Bruce Chanel was from Fort Worth. And Bruce Chanel wrote that song. He's about 17 years old. And they just went to the studio, as they did in these days. And they went in and they cut this record. And if you listen to it, the bass player's lost pretty much the whole time.
As usual. Speaking of bass players.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha. And Delbert McClinton played harmonica on that. And he was about 16. And so it became a big hit. I mean, you know, that's in the days when you go record it one night and you take an acetate down to the radio station that night, and they start playing it, and then calling their friends, and yeah, just that's the way it used to work, and that's kind of the way you guys do.
Yeah.
It's the way y'all wrote, thank goodness. Try to get on with one of the major chains of stations. But Bruce Chanel, and they went to Europe. He was so big, and he went to Europe, and the Beatles were the opening act because they were just starting. And they were just, yeah.
Wow.
And they
not
had,
many people could say, "Oh, the Beatles opened for us."
Yeah, exactly. And Delbert taught John Lennon how to play enough harmonica that he on "Love Me Do," and he recorded that little harmonica part. There's your history. There will be a quiz, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're
Thank
taking
you.
Notes.
We are taking notes. Now let's hear something you wrote while you were in Nashville, if you can remember it.
This one I ran into Bruce Chanel in Nashville through a mutual friend, and we wrote a few songs together. This one's called "It Was Fun While It Lasted." I was a good time Charlie, living way too fast. She was a raving beauty, just looking for some laughs. Now we were the life of the party, having real big time. Then one day she walked away and blew my worn out mind. But it was fun while it lasted. Boy, we really had ourselves a ball. Yes, it was fun while it lasted. For a while there, thought we had it all. Well, I don't know what went wrong. I looked up, she was gone. But it was fun while it lasted. Trouble is, it didn't last that long. Yeah, trouble is, it didn't last that long. Yeah, I didn't mind the money. Hell, I'd spent that anyway. But I'd give everything I got just to have her back today. Well, I guess there's no use crying. What good would it do? There's just no denying she done found somebody new. But it was fun while it lasted. Boys, we really had ourselves to ball. It was fun while it lasted. For a while there, I thought we had it all. Well, I don't know what went wrong. I looked up, she was gone. But it was fun while it lasted.
trouble is, it didn't last that long. Well, the trouble is, it didn't last that long. Yeah, the trouble is, it didn't last that long. Well, the trouble is, it didn't last that long.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends in the studio with us, Mark Durham from Amarillo, Texas, along with my cohort, partner in crime, Debbie Finsterwald. Debbie and Mark are, you got some old roots going back to Western Oklahoma, Eric, Oklahoma.
Yeah, we came far from home, all the way across the line.
So you know, kinda... it's funny, being an Okie, born in Oklahoma, being an Okie. If you get real technical about it now, if you want to get real technical, the 100th meridian.
Yes.
If you've studied about that, and you looked at that, the 100th meridian, actually, the line, the Oklahoma line is probably around Sayre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there were a lot of disputes about where that fell, how, because of the way it, anyway, it was some, you know. It was like
one of those geographical things. Yeah.
Yeah. But the 100th meridian, so technically, you know, I was born on the cusp. Of Oklahoma and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That make me a Tokie?
Yeah. Most assuredly, I bet it did make you a Tokie. But, you know, let's back up here a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we moved you to Nashville real quick. But we want to...
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to... you moved to San Diego. You you were in the NMN, the Roadrunners in 68. And then you moved to California in 1969. So
we
talk
did.
To us about your career there.
All right, let me tell you about the first... trip to California.
Okay.
All right. That was in probably 66. And the NMN, and through a buddy of ours, we were booked in Estes Park, Colorado, and Boulder, and whatever. And we went up there and we played these couple of gigs. Sometime before, in Lawton, this booking agent from Hollywood had a Hollywood address.
Hey.
This agent in Hollywood gave us a card, said, "If you're ever out that way, look me up." So we're in Boulder, Colorado, and we finish playing. We go, "What y'all gonna do?" "I don't know. What y'all gonna do?" "I don't know. Let's go to California. How much money we got?" "Yeah, I think we get there." So we go out there, and we drive all night. I wake up in the back of the van, I think we had, and there's palm trees flying by, and I go, "Whoa." And so we go to this agent's office, and we go in and say, "Well, here we are." And she's like, "Oh, really?" She didn't expect us to show up. And she had this little, had kind of like a flop house for musicians out in her garage and upstairs apartment out there and stuff, and mattresses, and it was like a flop house, man. Said, "Well, y'all go out there and get you some sleep. Let me see if I can find something." So she booked us at this gig. And we go there, and it was this goofy little, tiny little bar, and it was the bartender and... couple of, you know, drunks there, and we're up there on this
great
little
crowd,
bitty
crowd.
Yeah, and we're up on this little bitty stage, and man, I'm leaning up against the wall, nodding out, but still, you know, you play in your sleep. And the guy called the agent. We packed up. "You want us back tomorrow night?" He said, "No." He called the agent and said, "Don't you ever send me a band of damn zombies again."
That was your introduction to California.
Okay, the next gig was better, though. It was a place called Mike's a Go-Go. Mike Spinelli. Mike's a Go-Go. And it was a go-go bar. And Debbie wasn't singing with us yet. And we go there, and we think, woohoo, we're playing at a go-go bar. And the guy was really hard to work with. And he was always complaining about it being too loud, and he'd come up in front of the stage and flap his arms and jump up and down like a little, you know, owl or something, and saying, "It's too loud, it's too loud." So we decide, well, we'll show him. Next time he comes in, everybody just turn your amps down to one, and the drummer just like, you know, just tap your stuff. And so we did. And of course, the girls are having a hard time dancing to it. So he comes up to the stage and said, "Hey, you and you, come with me." Into the office. Now, each of us tell the story different, as if we were all there. My memory kind of fails me. But anyway, the guy was very short in stature, and he had a little platform on which his desk was so that he could, you know, feel bigger. So he gets up on this little platform, and he says, "You guys think you're a bunch of comedics? Comedics? No, sir. We're just trying to keep the volume down. No. Yeah. And we said, we're going, well, you know, probably just, you just pay us for the nights we've worked and it's maybe not going to work
out. We'll move on.
He said, oh, no. I booked you guys for 2 weeks. You're playing 2 weeks and you're playing it my way.
Oh.
And we're going, well, that's okay. We'll just go get our stuff. And he reaches in a desk drawer and pulls out a little 38 snub nose. And he goes, hey, you think this will hurt your stomach?
Welcome to California.
So we went back to this little motel and we called our agent the next morning. And she said, well, I'll try to see what I can do about getting your equipment. Well, she calls back like in the afternoon. She said, well, I got some bad news, good news, I guess. I don't know. But they got raided last night because he was running numbers and prostitution out of there. And so the building is padlocked. And a lot, and your equipment is in that padlocked building. Crap. And we played like 3 days. I hadn't had any money. So she finally negotiated with the police. We met them there. We got our gear, went back to her office, and we're sitting out on the curb eating some sleeve of sandwiches and some Vienna sausages we managed to scrape together. Said, yeah, what y'all do? Let's go back to Oklahoma. So we did. That was the first trip. It was
the second round probably was much better. You did.
Second round was much better. Yeah. We landed in San Diego and it started out to be a 6 week gig. The Roadrunners had a bar, I think 6 week or, you know, it's booked for 8, 10, 12 weeks. And it turned into a year and a half at the same place and a line around the corner because we were just wacky. We were good. We were a good band and had
a good time.
And had. We were wacky. We played a lot of Monday and Tuesday nights till 1:30 in the morning, consuming adult beverages and entertaining ourselves. Listen, you saw some of that. At one time on my mic stand, I had two bulb horns, a police whistle, siren kind of whistle, slide whistle. And if we were like Spike Jones, if there was a break, I might go quack quack wee, you know,
just to keep yourself awake and going.
Oh yeah, we had a great time.
Well, you made albums while you were there too, so I mean, your career really did. Your music evolved and your career.
Yeah, we were at this club. We're very successful, and a manager approached us about doing the Nevada circuit and how much money he could make. This was in 670 and so, and he was telling us we could go make $5,000 to $7,000 a week, and if you will wear these goofy costumes that I'm going to have designed for you and do these silly little dance routines that we're going to practice way into the night.
Oh goodness.
Oh man, he had us. And we did. We went and made really good money, but we wound up realizing that just wasn't why we wanted to be in the music business. So and Debbie that was singing with us, she went back to Texas and we all went back to San Diego and crashed on at some of our friends and fans houses for what was going to be a few days and turned out to be like 2 months, and you know, but we regrouped and we started writing original songs.
Right.
And we found this funky little bar down in San Diego where they allowed us to do whatever, pretty much.
Now,
and
is that where Buckwheat, you were in a
that's
band?
That's where we were born. We came out of that whole Las Vegas thing and became the band Buckwheat.
Do we have some Buckwheat songs that we can play? Do
you... I brought that one. Did you load that one?
Yeah.
And it's, I'll tell you one. It's called Funky Way to Treat Somebody. So, and it's what it is. It's an old blues song by this guy Calvin Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, just we heard it on a jukebox, but we kind of changed directions. We made that the very first album that we made was Debbie had not returned to the band yet. We were still in San Diego, but we were doing the original material, and we were approached by a couple of somewhat shady kind of characters, but they would tell us, yeah, we can get you these guys a record deal. Mm. And they liked our music, and they wound up taking us to, we went to Hollywood, L.A., somewhere, went in a studio about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, and walked out the next day at about the same time. And we cut the whole thing. We'd been playing it, you know, and that's the best way to record if you're going to use your live band. So many producers in Nashville and L.A. too, didn't they? They really prefer to work with
studios, musicians,
people they really know, and they know that this guy can bring what I want to
right.
this song. And you're rolling the dice with the road band. But this was done in L.A. You know, we cut our first record. I was going to tell you, the first one is just called Buckwheat, and it's me and Michael Dubb and two other guys. And our managers took this and went to London, England, and made a deal with London Records. Four albums for us. And they came back and had us, you know, sign our name till our hands went lame kind of deal. but we didn't, you know, they got money. I don't know what they got. But we cut that record, and it's got some interesting songs on it. You can hear the birth of, because what we were at that time was a rootsy Americana, I don't know, Texas, Oklahoma, had that Oklahoma Tulsa thing to it. And then we cut the Moving On album,
right.
which you say you have.
Yes.
And that was really a lot of fun. It's really my favorite Buckwheat album.
It's a good one.
It is. We kind of got off track on the one called Charade. That's the one that Funky Way to Treat Somebody is on. And brought in horns, and I don't know. We kind of varied, and our fans didn't receive it as well. That Moving On album was huge in Canada.
Right.
Huge. We played, yeah, so much fun. We played all over Canada.
We're going to listen to Funky Way to Treat Somebody, and we're going to be back in just a few minutes on Lyrics and Legends.
Say I got to be the biggest fool, baby.
program's Lyrics and Legends, and in the studio, Mark Durham from Eric, Oklahoma, originally Amarillo, Texas. Other points along
by way of Nashville, Tennessee, by way of
California,
by way of
Debbie Finsterwald's also in here with
Indeed.
Me. And we are having a fun time going back down
memory lane.
A lot of this stuff we do on this program gets off on some of these rabbit trails, and it's always interesting to see
it
all
is,
the connections.
But what is so cool about all of this is that all of these connections and all of the, it's like you were saying earlier about when you moved to Amarillo, so much talent.
Yeah.
If you just think about the people that we've talked to on this show that are just from this area, you know, and with, of course, Roger Miller being one of them from Eric, Oklahoma, and we want to get to that because Mark was a part of Roger's
career, too. Yeah, we're going to get to
that pretty quick. Yeah. But the thing about it is there's so many talented people that are just in this little area of the Texas-Oklahoma area.
Well,
they're just incredible.
Right, somebody was talking to Roger about that, you know. And of course, Jimmy Webb's from up around Sweetwater,
right?
And they said, "Well, maybe it's something in the water." And he said, "I think it's the lack of it.
Nothing else to do."
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about that. You know, you're in California and you have a career and you've got albums and all of that. And then the next thing we know, you're with Roger Miller. Tell us how that came about.
Pretty interesting story. Roger was a generation ahead of me.
Right.
And, you know, when we were growing up, he was that dang Miller kid.
Had a reputation a little bit.
He had a little bit of a reputation, see. But then, when he got famous, hey, he's old Rod.
Oh,
I am. I know Rod.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they honored him with they named the street after him and had a big parade.
Roger Miller Day.
Had a big parade, and there wasn't nobody left to watch.
Yeah.
We was all in the parade.
The whole town.
We
got a couple of those.
Yes, we have those all the time.
But so our little band, which sucked, and we laid in wait for him downtown at Hood's Drug, and he finally showed up, and we talked him into coming to where we were practicing in the back of a feed store on Main Street. He came in. He listened to a little bit of a couple of songs, and he stopped us, and he told two of the guys, he said, "Well, I think you and you maybe need to sell shoes or something." And he talked to me and Michael and said, y'all keep practicing. Well, many years later, I was playing in Los Angeles, playing at the Palomino Club.
Right.
And I was playing with a guy named Dorsey Burnett. And Dorsey's a legend in his own time, man. He had a tall oak tree, and he wrote that Glenn Campbell recorded, "Hey, little one, so far from home." Well, I was playing with Dorsey, and Dorsey and Roger were good friends. Roger came to see Dorsey. Just happenstance. And after our show, we're back in the dressing room area, and I was talking with Roger and told him that I was from Eric and reminded him of that story. I said, "You told me to keep practicing." And he said, "Well, I think you did." And he called me a few days later and offered me the job to go be in his band. And after I considered it for a tenth of a second, I said yes. And you know, and so I left from being, I was really just living hand to mouth, and went from that to having a retainer, in-town retainer, doing the Tonight Show, Dinah Shore, Merv Griffin, you know.
The White House. I've seen a picture of you at the White House.
We played at the White House in, I guess it was 76, because that year also we played on the USS Constitution in San Diego Harbor with Bob
Hope.
You
were on the roof with Willie Nelson, were you? At the White House?
No, he was actually in the White House, dressed beautifully. It's a great picture. Yes.
Yeah, white tuxes.
And
We were in, I don't know where we were, maybe in some place with Roger on the road. And he came to us. He said, "Hey, call you peoples and tell them we're going to be delayed getting home." "Well, why? What are we doing?" "Well, we're going to go play at the White House." At the White House.
At the White House.
We stayed at the Watergate Hotel.
Oh,
no way.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
And I have Gerald Ford in office. I danced with Betty. I danced with Betty Ford.
Wow.
They had a thing in the ballroom, and all the performers, entertainers had an opportunity to dance cut in on a song. And
oh, that's so cool.
So I danced with Betty. I met Elizabeth Taylor there. And I said, Miss Taylor, you know, and...
Couldn't find yourself, could you?
Oh, Lord, no. And Henry Kissinger, and we did some things at the White House that I probably can't talk about on
the
air.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Just for the memory of your family. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when we were with Roger, we mostly flew. It was mostly fly dates because he didn't believe in the forced busing of musicians.
Oh, of course he didn't. Mm-mm. Do you have a particular, is there anything you can do in studio for us, a particular song from your Roger days that you loved and still like to do?
You mean Roger song?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, it's always is. Trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let to 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes. I'm 2 hours of pushing broom by the 8x12 4-bedroom. I'm a man of means by no means, king of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Old worn out suit and shoes, I don't pay no union dues. I smoke most stogies I have found, short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means, king of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all of their children and all of their names, and every handout in every town, and every lock that ain't locked when no one's around. I sing trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no bed. I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom, 8x12 4-bedroom. I'm a man of means by no means, king of the road, king of the road, king of the road, baby do.
Oh, how did I know it would be that song, man?
Right.
That, what was it Gary P. Nunn told us? He said he hated that song, but he loved those checks that rolled in.
Yeah.
I think Ray Wiley Hubbard said the
same. Yeah, that's right, Ray.
And that
Wiley
brings me to this, because another guy from Eric, who was quite successful, was Sheb Woolley.
And one-eyed, you know, one-horn flying purple
that
people eater.
Was a one-eyed, one-horn flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one-horn flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one-horn flying purple people eater. Such a sight to see. But he also wrote this.
That must have been the lack of water.
It had to be something.
He wrote this one here, too.
Keep going here.
Are you satisfied? Really satisfied? Well, if you are, I'll be on my way. Are you sad? Sheb Woolley.
And he was also Rowdy. No, he was,
yeah,
on...
No, he was Pete Nolan.
Pete Nolan, that's right.
Yeah, on Rawhide. He was
Rawhide.
Also in High Noon.
Yes.
With Gary Cooper.
Yes, he was.
These two guys from Eric, Oklahoma. And I'm growing up as a kid, and I'm seeing them on TV.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing them on the radio, and they're from my little hometown.
Yep.
You know, when, remember Rogers, when they moved into town from the farm,
mm-hmm,
they moved in right across the street from where I lived there on Maple Street.
Really?
Yeah. And he'd come home, and I'd see him over there in his Cadillac and whatever, and I'm just going, wow, you know.
Yeah.
But it inspired the heck out of me, because if they can do that, well, Well, I can too.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and because I remember, like, when I was a kid, when Sheb Woolley's One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater, the 45, everybody in elementary school got a copy of the 45 to take home with us. Got a free. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
In the world.
Of course, my dad adored Rawhide, you know, and you're like, this guy's from Eric? And so it's just, it's one of those things.
It is.
What is it Roger said? It's not where you started, it's where you end up.
Yeah, that is.
So you how long were you with him? And
it was a couple of so years.
Yeah.
And it was really a good run. I'm going to sing you a song now. It's called City Lights, Fortune, and Fame.
Okay.
All right, and it just kind of talks about what we are just talking about here.
Okay, someone tuned in late here.
We've hardly taken
a breath here. It's been really good. Everybody take a big breath. We're visiting with Mark Durham from Eric, Oklahoma, along with Debbie Fenster. Well, from Eric, Oklahoma, I grew up over across the line in Wheeler, you know.
Yeah.
We just came there to roller skate.
We came over here to roller skate. And Wheeler, I can tell you this, I remember that Wheeler pretty much generally kicked our asses at football.
Big time.
I mean,
always. Yeah.
No, you can leave that.
Okay. No, always.
Always. So, and I remember matter of fact, we had played Wheeler on that prom night. Not prom night, it was homecoming night. We had played Wheeler and we beat them that year. And I remember there was a guy there, and he had, it was like a 56 Ford or something like that. And he'd throw it in reverse and back up and slam it down, you know, and just burn rubber. And he did that about three times, about the third time, man. The U joint cut loose, man.
All right. What are you going to play for us, Mark?
This is called City Lights, Fortune, and Fame. It's about watching these guys and getting the bug and... Dusty Oklahoma is an old friend of mine. I grew up in a small town 7 miles from the Texas line. I was born there, and it was there that I became somewhat of a schemer, a poet and a dreamer of city lights, fortune, and fame. It was the home of Roger Miller and old Sheb Woolley too. Just like them, as soon as I could, you know, I spread my wings and flew to California, determined I would make my name. I was sure that I'd be tasting the dream that I was chasing, the city lights, fortune, and fame. But the city lights can make you go blind. Chasing that fortune can take your mind and break it all in the name of fame.
Okay, so anyway, little bit of Roger coming out there. Another verse.
One day when I woke up, kicked the dream dust off of my boots. I packed my things in as soon as I could, you know, I get back to my roots in Oklahoma. Everybody knows my name. The third time I've been tasting the dreams that I was chasing, the city lights, fortune, and fame. Something like that.
That's kind of your life story, isn't
it? That is kind of my life story. I open with that song a lot these days when I... I'm just out performing solo. I like to do that. Usually solo, you can't hear me. But
But you,
Mark, I do want to say this. First time we became acquainted was you guys put together a benefit for Blues Boy Willie.
It was.
Yeah, and so that's what really impressed me about, you know, we talk about that Oklahoma or Amarillo music community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the way they came together for that one event
and have rallied since for other individuals. And, it's really, you know, we all have that. Sometimes we just need to be encouraged to give. And that came together in about, probably less than 8 weeks from the time we started, you know, we talked about it, but then we decided, by the way, it was very successful. And thank y'all for showing up. That was great to have you there. And your presence there was much appreciated. We raised a good chunk of money, and here's the nice report. Tonight's report, film at 11. We got a wheelchair ramp, an access ramp for him. Now he's not wheelchair. He's stubborn old dude, boy. He's doing pretty well.
That's great.
And before I go any further, I want to thank Legends 92.9. Legends 92.9 and all your transmitters that you have. I listen in
Amarillo.
103.9
Amarillo.
Yeah, KSNZ. And who would have known, you know, that. And, you know, you've got a very pioneering spirit about you, your station, and a lot of unique programming. So, but I encourage,
like
today, what the heck is that?
But we're having fun, that's what.
Yeah, and I encourage everybody, tell your friends and spread the word about this great station.
All right, we have what we now call the Department of Shameless Plugs. Dun, dun, dun.
So,
we give Mark Durham the opportunity to tell people how to figure out where you're playing or buy your stuff
or whatever
you want to plug, you can plug.
All right. Well, my shameless plug, it's not very involved. Yeah, but I play around Amarillo, just only one band these days. It's the Texas Blues Rangers. Mostly, I am mostly involved with music ministry that I have, and it just developed itself. I mean, I didn't go out to start it. I just had remembered how it was visiting people in homes who have nothing and most often nobody much.
Nobody, that's right.
So I decided, well, I went in and can I come sing? And sure, and I did, and I've been doing it now for coming on 3 years, and it's super rewarding.
Yes,
and
blessing.
And if it's okay, I've written some inspirational, I guess you might call it, material that I've done. I'm on Facebook, Mark Durham with a C, Mark Durham. I'm on Reverb Nation. You know, I've got songs. They're actually getting ready to be much more productive in things that I make available for you to hear. So I'll be starting I already have a music page that I'm just going to post. I have told you I wrote like 250 songs, and I've got demos on a lot of them.
Wow.
And some of them are pretty goofy. But
do you want to close with one of your inspirational songs for us?
I'd love to.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, we'll get you to straighten up here for 3 minutes.
Okay, I'll try.
Straighten up. Good luck with that. I know this girl.
And he's going to keep it to himself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So what are you going to do for us to close us out here?
I think what I'm going to do is I believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. I do. I've seen all kinds of results from it. And a quick story is Linda and I moved to Amarillo in 2000. And 2001, day after 9/11, she was admitted to the hospital with metabolic poisoning. It was partly because of Tylenol.
Oh, wow.
And taking way too much. Anyway, the doctors told me she had a 5% chance to survive that. And I got the prayer warriors together, and I saw that. I saw a miracle there. And I have another song about that. But this is called Let Us Pray. And what it says is that you know, He has many names, and there are many different ministries, but we all pray to the same God. And so that's what this is about. It's like, let's all pray for the same thing.
That's right.
Like peace and love and, you know, come on. Let's make it peace, love.
That's right.
Black lights, posters, brown rice, sandals. Yeah.
Yeah, neighbor jackets that you had one of.
I believe in the power of prayer, so do millions of people everywhere. Oh, why can't we just all agree to love one another and live in harmony? So you pray your way, I'll pray mine, and together we will pray for all mankind. We'll pray for let us pray. And I believe we can change the world and better place for every boy and girl. Oh, on bended knee, in unity, let's kneel before our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings, and you pray your way, let us pray.
That was impressive because Debbie's speechless. I hadn't seen her.
But hey, listen, I have had so much fun with you. You are such great
host. Thank you.
You know, you have made me feel so welcome, and we just laughed and cut up and had a good time. And hey, you know, if it ain't fun,
don't do it.
We want to thank you for taking time to come over
My pleasure.
Visit with us. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. Mark Durham from Amarillo, Texas. If you're in there in Amarillo, look him up. Support live music up there. If you're in Shamrock, support live music.
That's
come
right.
Out.
Wherever you are, support live music.
Wherever. Have
it's
fun.
Important.
And Mark, we want to thank you for coming.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank y'all.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time here on Legends 92.9.